Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my last day of my first week of teaching on a subject that I've entitled The Power of Hope. And I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. I've ministered it at two ministers' conferences, and I've probably had as positive a response to that as nearly anything I've ever taught. You know, we live in a society today where hope is not really encouraged. You may not have thought about this, but it really is looked down on. For instance, because of liability issues, doctors, the very first thing they will do is tell you the very worst case scenario. They don't want to get your hopes up. We don't want people to be disappointed. And so they tell you the worst case scenario, because if they were to tell you, oh, you can beat this, and then it winds up being worse than they said, you could go back and sue them for malpractice. So because of the financial liability, they give you the worst case scenario. The news is always painting the worst case scenario. They're always telling you the worst of everything, preparing you for the worst. And then if it turns out to be better, well, then that's good. But we think somehow or another we're supposed to just discourage people from hoping and dreaming big. And so the world is just knocking hope out of us from every angle, presenting worst case scenario in every single thing. And yet the Bible talks about hope is a powerful, powerful force. Look at this passage of Scripture about Abraham. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it's talking about Abraham, and it says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know what that is saying is that when all hope was gone, Abraham was 99 years old, his wife was 90 years old, she had already been through menopause, it was impossible for her to have a child. When all hope was gone, Abraham was still hoping. And you know what? That hope is what brought him through. Eventually, and I'll deal with this more later on, but let me just say this quickly, that hope is like the thermostat that turns on faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's the power, but hope is what controls your faith. You have to hope before you have faith. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And because our society, again, is just trying to beat hope out of us, somehow or another they think that getting your hopes up is just preparing yourself for failure. And you know, there is a truth there. It says in Proverbs 13, 12, I believe it is, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if you get your hopes up and it doesn't come to pass, that disappointment is devastating and hard to deal with. And so because of that, a lot of people just won't ever allow themselves to hope for anything. They aren't shooting for anything because they don't want to be disappointed. They're aiming at nothing, and they hit it every time. But I can promise you this, that any person who does something that is significant, who accomplishes something, is a person who has hope. If you are taking, you know, I'm not saying these things to be mean. I'm just trying to be blunt, get my point across, make sure you don't misunderstand me. If you are taking the chicken's way out, if you aren't raising your hopes up, you aren't shooting at anything because you don't want to be disappointed, so you just expect nothing, you are looking for nothing, you have zero motivation, you're like a zombie just going through this life because you don't want to get your hopes up. You may not have the devastation of a person who's tried for something and didn't make it, but you'll also never know the joy of a person who's shot for something and has seen something accomplished that couldn't have happened without great effort. You know, because of this, with our children today, we don't want to give out awards for the best in sports and things like this. We want everybody to be a winner. That's just not true. You know what? You need to shoot to be better. You need to shoot to accomplish better and to do your very best and not wish bad on anybody else, not hurt them, but at the same time, you ought to aspire to do at the very top level that you can perform. There ought to be this hope. And yes, by doing that, there is a potential for disappointment and discouragement, but the rewards are well worth any potential problem. It's like loving a person. I imagine every person watching this program has been hurt sometime or another by the person you loved, or you loved somebody and they didn't love you back. And you know what? That hurts. And as a result, there's people that try and go through life and they never get close to anybody. I tell you what, that is a poor person. And they may say, but nobody can hurt me. Well, nobody can bless you either. You know what? That's not the way that God made us to be. God doesn't want you to insulate yourself. God doesn't want you to become so hard-hearted that nothing can penetrate and touch you. You have to be vulnerable. And if somebody disappoints you, if somebody takes advantage of you and hurts you, then you know what? You just go to the Lord and cast your care about it over on Him and you let Him satisfy you. But you have to go through life shooting at something. You have to get your hopes up, and our whole world is trying to get your hopes down. But look at this. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. That's what enabled him to become the father of many nations. And notice it says, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This is a quotation from Genesis chapter 15 when the Lord appeared unto Abraham and says, count the stars in the sky. If you can count all of the stars that are up there, that's how numerous your descendants are going to be. And one of the reasons I believe that God gave him that thing about counting the stars or numbering the grains of sand on the seashore, I think one of the reasons that God used those two specific things is because they were innumerable for one reason, but also it was a reminder day and night that He had a promise that His children were going to be by the millions. And you've got to remember that He didn't live the way that we live today. Like, I've got on boots. Abraham didn't wear boots. He wore sandals. He walked through dusty things all of the time, and every single day he had to clean the dust off of his feet. So every day he remembered, this is how numerous my children are going to be, like the sands on the seashore, like the dust that I've walked through today. And then at night he didn't live in a house and watch television at night. He lived in a tent. They would sit outside and they would look up and they would see all of these stars. And every night he would think, that's how numerous my descendants are going to be. You know what the Lord was doing? He was using something to paint a picture. In Abram's imagination, he could see how many stars there were, how many grains of sand and dust there were, and he says, that's how numerous my children are going to be. And so day and night, he was constantly being painted a picture. I think that's one of the reasons, may not be the only reason, but that's one of the reasons that God use those examples is to capture Abraham's imagination of things he dealt with every day and every night. Kept it constantly in front of him. If Abraham would have sat down and have watched 20 or 30 hours worth of TV with people killing and raping each other and lying and stealing and living perverted lifestyles, and if that's what would have been in front of him, and if that's what he would have been captivated, his imagination would have been focused on that, he probably wouldn't have had any better results than we have. Likewise, if you were to take us and put us in a situation where all you did was day and night focus on things that reminded you of God's promises to you, and if that's all you did, that's all you did. You didn't have just a real brief period of time that you would focus on God, but you did this day in and day out. Did you know you would have just as miraculous of results as what Abraham had? This is the power of imagination. And I tell you, again, I go back to these definitions I've already used. The Hebrew word for imagination means conception. Every time you imagine and picture things and focus on this, you are conceiving things. And the sad thing is, most of us are imagining things that God never wanted us to imagine. He never wanted us to go there. And yet we do it on a consistent basis, and it wars against our soul, and it keeps us from receiving. If Abraham would have done this, he wouldn't have been any more victorious than what we are. Likewise, if we did what Abraham did, we would be as victorious as he is. And so it goes on to say in verse 19, Romans 4:19, and be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. What does the word consider mean? According to the dictionary, it means to study, ponder, deliberate, examine, to focus on, to meditate on. It's talking about your imagination, being focused on these things. If Abraham would have considered his own body, now dead, or the deadness of Sarah's womb, they wouldn't have been able to have received this promise. So let me just paint a picture, help your imagination to see what's really going on right here. When God told Abraham, 99 years old, that you are going to have a child next year, and that your wife, who is 90 years old, she's going to become pregnant, she'll give birth to this child. If you had been in Abraham's situation and you were believing and wanting a child more than anything else, and God told you that at 99 years old, how would you have responded? I can guarantee you what most people would do is immediately question this. Is it possible? And the first thing we would do is either go get a checkup for ourselves or our wife. We would get tested. Doc, is it possible for this to happen? And when they say, no, absolutely not, you can't have children at your age, then if you still pursued it beyond that, you might go to the internet, you might look it up and start Googling and saying, what's the oldest that a person's ever given birth to a baby? And you would try and verify how old that is. And I don't know, but I've heard of a person that was in their 60s that gave birth. And let's say that that was the oldest person that had ever given birth. And you'd say, well, I'm 90, my wife is 90. This is impossible. And after you had seen all of these negative things, you had let all of the doctor and the internet and whatever present this picture to you that shows you it just can't happen, then you'd go back to the Lord and say, God, why am I struggling with this? How come it's so hard for me to believe? It's because you considered all of these things except what God said. This says that he focused on the words that were spoken unto him. So shall your seed be. Five words. We've got an entire Bible with millions of words. And yet many of us can't find anything in here that will captivate our attention. We're more captivated by the light of the television than we are by the light of God's Word. Abraham only had five words. So shall thy seed be. But he didn't have any distractions. He didn't have pornographic stuff. He didn't have movies. He didn't have television. He didn't have the printed page. He didn't have the internet that he wasted his time on. He didn't do all of this stuff that most of us are captivated with. He was just focused day and night on so shall my seed be. And he did not consider his own body now dead, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he didn't focus on that. He didn't think about it. He didn't feel compelled to go find every reason why what God said couldn't come to pass. Instead, he just focused on what God said. He didn't run a poll and he didn't Google it and search and see, has anybody ever had a child when they're 100 years old and their wife is 91? Has this ever happened? He didn't consult with anything else. He just stayed focused on God's Word. I tell you, I'm sharing a major key with you right here. You know, I've got a teaching entitled Hardness of Heart that makes this exact same point, uses these exact same scriptures, and it would go into much more detail than what I'm doing right here. It would change your life. That is one of the most powerful things that God has ever shown me. He goes on to say in the next verse, in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How do you keep from staggering through unbelief? Well, if you back up, it's because you don't consider anything contrary to God's Word. We shouldn't be focusing on things contrary to God's Word. We ought to stay focused on God's Word. Let God's Word just paint pictures of success and victory, pictures of us succeeding, pictures of things coming to pass. Did you know right now we are in the midst of a major, major building program, over $30 million in just the first phase, and then another $20 plus million after that. Did you know that's a lot of money? And right now it takes me close to $3 million a month to pay my television bills, all of my salaries, all of the product that we put out, everything that we're doing. And I need $30 million on top of that. Did you know, how would you respond to that? Most people would sit here and start thinking about, man, what happens if I don't get this? I've got to have this much. And they would constantly be monitoring it. And they would think about what's going to happen. They would think about negative consequences. And if you think on that, it'll eventually paint a picture on the inside of you that is an imagination, a negative way of seeing things. And that becomes a stronghold. I use those verses already in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, that the weapons of our warfare cast down strongholds and imaginations and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. When most of us are faced with an impossible financial situation, what we do is think worst case scenario. We feel somehow or another it's wisdom for us to just anticipate the worst thing that could possibly happen. And if you meditate on that and dwell on it, it will paint a vain, negative imagination, and you will conceive something. You will conceive fear. You will conceive failure, and it'll come to pass. And you know what? I can't say that I'm immune to all of those things, but I've been dealing with this for decades upon decades. God has already brought me through things that were way beyond my ability, and I've seen God come through faithful. And you know what? I've just reached a place that I can't say it's without any effort, but with not as much effort as it used to be, I am now standing in a place that I am seeing these buildings that God has given us to build. I'm seeing them built. I'm not thinking on the negative. You know, I have to drive by this property where we're building every single day, coming in and going home. And every day, every time I've passed by that property for going on 4 years, I say, thank you, Jesus, for giving us this sanctuary, a place dedicated to the glory of God. Thank you for the money that has come in. Thank you that the rest of the money is coming in. Thank you that we have an abundance, that we have extra. And I focus on that. And I take scriptures that God has given me. I take promises that God has spoken to me, and I focus on those. And I constantly am focusing on this thing completed, not uncompleted. I'm not seeing myself failure. I'm seeing fail. I'm seeing myself succeed. And you know, this is the exact same principle. It doesn't matter if you're building buildings. It doesn't matter if you're believing for your marriage. It doesn't matter if you're believing for your children, if you're believing for your job, if you're believing for an advancement, if you're believing for whatever it is, for healing for your body, anything. Instead of letting your imagination focus on failure, focus on the Word of God not working, you need to take captive your thoughts. And I can hear some of you right now. You may be on the other side of the world from me, and yet I just heard you say, but you can't control your thought. I can't keep my mind stayed on God. I cannot help myself thinking negatively about this. Let me just turn back over to this verse that I've already read and read it to you again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means that they aren't human. They aren't natural. They aren't limited to just human ability. If you're saying, I can't do this, I can't control my mind, all you're saying is you're carnal. You haven't yet drawn on the spiritual power on the things that God has placed on the inside of you. It's true in the carnal, in the natural. You cannot control your thoughts. You can't live in a negative world and be positive. You can't live in a fallen world and still operate in the victory and the joy of God just on your own. The Christian life isn't just difficult. It's impossible. It's impossible in the natural realm. But the good news is we aren't only natural. We aren't only human. One third of you, if you've been born again, one third of you is wall to wall Holy Ghost. You have the power of God on the inside of you, and it says these weapons of our warfare, not the physical weapons, not your physical strength, but your spiritual ability, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your spiritual weapons can bring every thought, not some of them, not a lot of them, not most of them, every thought. You can keep your mind stayed upon God, and you can get to where every thought comes under obedience to Christ. And I know some of you are still shaking your head like, I just can't believe that. Well, then just tear 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 out of your Bible because you don't believe that. If you believe the Bible says you can do it. Well, I've tried. You need to quit trying and just do it. You need to make a decision that I can do what God told me to do. But let me give you a hint. You can't control your thoughts and keep them stayed on the Lord. You can't keep your imagination stayed on the Lord and stay in perfect peace if you are going to plug yourself into the trash of this world and let their ungodly values, their ungodly principles, their lifestyle flow through you. You can't let the sewage of this world flow through you and remain pure in your thoughts and in your imagination. That's a strong, strong statement. And I know that there are many of you who in your heart, you're agreeing and you're seeing what I'm saying and you say, I see it. But you just aren't willing to go there. You aren't willing to give up 2 or 3 hours worth of television viewing in the evenings when you sit down and just watch trash and watch people lie and steal. You know, I watch some television, probably more than I should, but not, you know, near what most people do. And the few times that I do watch television, even if you can find something decent, like there are some things about history and some, you know, things on there that I think are beneficial to me. And so I'll try and watch them. But even if you could find a program that's good, the commercials would kill you. The commercials are ungodly. And I have seen programs advertised where it's just terrible. Matter of fact, there was a commercial not long ago. I can't remember the details, which is probably God ordained so that I won't get in trouble for trashing a specific person. But anyway, it came on and it advertised these 3 or 4 programs that were on, and it says the most sinful night on TV. And they were presenting that as a good thing, telling you, and they showed sexual stuff and murder and lying and fornication and people in bed with each other. I mean, just all this stuff. And then they advertised it, the most sinful night on television. If you're a believer, you got no business watching that stuff. And some of you think, well, I don't participate. I'm just going to look at it. I'm not going to do any of it. Again, you've missed everything I've been saying about your imagination. If you can picture it, you will be tempted with it. You will be pulled in that direction. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. If you're saying that you can watch the worst night of sin on television and it's not going to affect you, you're deceived. You're deceived. There's no option. You just can't do that stuff. You're going to have to be a little more discerning of that. You need to recognize the power of your imagination, and you need to keep your imagination focused on God. And that's the reason that God gave us this Word. As you read it, it will paint you pictures of success. It will show you people who succeeded. It will show you people that overcame terminal illness. It'll show you people that overcame financial problems, marriages that were put together, people that overcame great opposition, and you can see them, and then you can picture yourself doing the exact same thing. But if you can't see it on the inside, you won't see it on the outside. You know, today will be my last day to offer you the first teaching in this new series entitled The Power of Hope. Now, we're going to continue to offer the entire series, but this first teaching, the very first CD in this set, I will offer it as a free gift to those who cannot or would not send any money. And so please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Power of Hope was recorded live at a recent conference. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, What is Hope? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, Hardness of Heart. This teaching is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of January, he'll be in Humble, Houston, and San Antonio, Texas. In February, he'll be in Santa Clara, Anaheim, and Pasadena, California. And in March, he'll be in Overland Park and Wichita, Kansas, Norman, Oklahoma, and Colorado Springs, Colorado. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Experience our family at Campus Days 2013, March 20th through 22nd at Caras Bible College, Colorado.
Meet world changers Tom and Cindy Boyd, Caras Bible College graduates, class of 2004. After serving an internship in Colorado Springs, they opened Caras Bible College Atlanta in August of 2005.
Basically, we're just duplicating ourselves and making disciples to go and to share the love of God and to teach.
Over the years, Tom and Cindy have witnessed the power of the truth to set people free.
I thank God for Caras Bible College because it's taught me that there are leadership qualities within me.
It's the best place in the world to find Jesus and to know His love that passes all your understanding.
It just changes people for the better.
If you'd like to find out more about Caras Bible College Atlanta, visit their website at www.cbcatlanta.org. Andrew Womack Ministries has offices located around the world. To locate an Andrew Womack Ministries office near you, go to awmi.net and click Contact Us at the top of the page.